Saturday. C-minus 66. Interstate 25, en route to Denver, Colorado. Dan insisted on driving Emma to the airport. A cab wouldn't have allowed them to talk privately, and although she surprised him greatly by looking and sounding as fresh as a daisy, with no visible after effects of the night before, Emma was the first to admit that she probably wasn't safe to drive. Clark, most definitely feeling the effects of a night which had gone on for several hours longer than Emma's, sat quietly in the back seat throughout the journey, having come along so he could talk to Timo before his private jet left for its one-night stopover in New York before continuing on to Italy. Tara wasn't invited and didn't offer to join them, though she did wave them off while earnestly promising that she would be responsible and take care of the house in Emma's absence. She didn't even tease a reveal of what she'd overheard the previous night, which led Dan to believe that she really was good at keeping secrets. Not that he had any desire to test that out with anything less personal and more serious. Conversation was scarce and light as Emma took care of a lot of things on her phone while Dan drove. She relayed that Timo had arrived in Denver and was waiting in his plane, keen to leave for New York as soon as Emma reached him. Dan could hear both sides of the call, and it was evident from Timo's tone, as well as his words, that the controversy surrounding certain elements of his reciprocity probe's suggested plaque engravings had really gotten to him. From Dan's perspective, it seemed like Timo was being almost as overly sensitive as the people who'd written long essays about his clumsy but innocuous choice of words in a language that everyone seemed to forget wasn't his first. The mainstream media attention Dan had seen regarding reciprocity was almost universally positive, including interviews with school teachers who spoke from their classrooms to glowingly describe the excitement of their students when they were given the task of preparing the kind of messages they thought should be sent to an extraterrestrial race. Because a model of the reciprocity probe had been physically present at Timo's announcement, along with some example plaques, it was little surprise to Dan that the media, and indeed the public at large, were more interested in reciprocity than Timo's far grander plans for an orbital observation platform and ultimately an intergenerational ark, capable of transporting a large human population to the distant and as yet unlocated planet known colloquially as New Kerguelen. The way Timo had structured his news conference left Dan in little doubt that he had wanted the public to focus on reciprocity, but the way he was talking about the overblown social media controversy suggested that he regretted this decision. The most interesting thing Dan overheard was Timo's repetition of his belief that staff at William Godfrey's GSC were responsible for what Timo called a deliberate smear on his public image. Emma reiterated her position that it didn't matter who started it. What mattered was how Timo reacted. Dan knew Emma far better than Timo did, and well enough to conclude from her tone that she firmly believed Godfrey was indeed responsible. As soon as Emma's call with Timo was over, he asked her why she was downplaying the possibility of Godfrey using dirty tactics. "What Timo wants is for this controversy to go away," she said. "That's his priority. And the whole thing is a sideshow, so I don't want it to drag on for any longer than it has to either. Everyone knows he's on a different page from Godfrey, and even if we could prove that Godfrey did this, it's hardly the worst thing that's ever come out about him. The way Timo is going, with all the big things he says he's going to do, he's really going to need to pick his battles. Jack used to say, if you're having doubts about a battle, it's not worth picking. And when we get to New York, Timo's hands are going to be full enough with Jack and Godfrey as it is. The last thing he wants to be doing is getting dragged into another low-priority battle on Godfrey's terms. Sometimes the high road is the smart road to take."
"So why don't you tell him that?" Dan asked. "Why don't you tell him that Godfrey probably is responsible, but that calling him out would be playing into his hands?"
Emma paused for a moment to think of the right words to get her point through to Dan. "Timo hired me to do a job," she eventually said. "And that job is to help him with some media stuff over the next few days and to protect his image against exactly the kind of thing we're talking about. He didn't hire me to tell him the truth no matter what. He hired me to help him, Dan, and telling him that Godfrey is probably responsible wouldn't do that. Telling him this truth would not help him. Not all truths are equal that way." Dan said nothing. "Did I explain that right?"
she asked, taking a sip of bottled iced tea. I can't pretend I'm feeling 100%. Good thing my gig with Timo doesn't officially start until tomorrow. Loud and clear, Dan replied. If Emma had been looking straight at him instead of side on, she would have seen the glint in his eye.